Chapter 6, A Precession of Prophecies. Was there an advanced ancient civilization on Earth, much older than we normally believe could be possible? Did these ancestors deliberately create a wide variety of myths and spiritual teachings worldwide about the pineal gland? Could these cultures or their forgotten creators manipulate giant blocks of stone to build massive pyramids in two totally separate cultures, namely the Mayan and the Egyptians? Did the people of these cultures enjoy direct contact with gods, human extraterrestrials, who may have been far older and far more advanced than they were? Did these ancient astronauts understand that there was a source field we were all a part of, and in fact were using to think? And lastly, are there enough surviving traces of these ancient cultures left behind so we can figure out what happened to understand who these people were and what they might have known? The Earth almost certainly went through a catastrophe around the last ice age, some 12,000 to 13,000 years ago. If there was an advanced civilization on Earth before then, as many ancient astronaut theorists suggest, this great flood seems to have largely destroyed it. Rand and Rose Flemath tied together a whole host of unique references worldwide with impeccable research to arrive at this conclusion. From all corners of the Earth, the same story is told. The sun deviates from its regular path. The sky falls. The earth is wrenched and torn by earthquakes. And finally, a great wave of water engulfs the globe. Survivors of such a calamity would go to any lengths to prevent it from happening again. They lived in an age of magic. It was natural and necessary to construct elaborate devices to pacify the sun god or goddess, or monitor its path. Thanks to the best-selling Fingerprints of the Gods by Graham Hancock, the scholarly work of Giorgio de Santayana and Hertha von Deschend is now central to any investigation of these ancient prophecies. Why? Their magnum opus, Hamlet's Mill, tied together an incredible number of different ancient legends around the world and found that they all shared common roots. Author Colin Wilson stated it clearly. In effect, Santayana is presenting a rich tapestry of legends of the Eskimos, Icelanders, Norsemen, American Indians, Finns, Hawaiians, Japanese, Chinese, Hindus, Persians, Romans, ancient Greeks, ancient Hindus, ancient Egyptians, and dozens of other nations, and asking, how did these strange similarities develop unless all these myths have some common origin? And this origin, he is inclined to believe, lies in astronomy. What could possibly have caused all these different cultures around the world to end up with the same exact information about astronomy? And what did all these different worldwide legends want us to know? The answer is deceptively simple. The myths encoded a long-term cycle in the Earth's orbit, which takes some 25,000 years to complete. The prophecies also tell us these periods of great difficulty give way to what they often call a golden age. One classic example is the Norse legend of the Ragnarok. This is admittedly one of the most doom and gloom sounding prophecies out there, but it does have a happy ending, as Bulfinch described in 1855. It was a firm belief of the northern nations that a time would come when all the visible creation, the gods of Valhalla and Niflheim, the inhabitants of Jotunheim, Alfheim, and Midgard, together with their habitations, would be destroyed. The earth itself will be frightened and begin to tremble, the sea leave its basin, the heavens tear asunder, and men perish in great numbers. The whole universe is burned up, the sun becomes dim, the earth sinks into the ocean, the stars fall from heaven, and time is no more. After this, Al-Fadur, the Almighty, will cause a new heaven and a new earth to arise out of the sea. The new earth, filled with abundant supplies, will spontaneously produce its fruits without labor or care. Wickedness and misery will no more be known, but the gods and men will live happily together. Let's consider the evidence we've examined so far. I do not believe these are literal prophecies, but they may be telling us a story about our future using dreamlike symbolism. We have powerful clues that the basic energy of the universe is conscious, and we all think with the field to some degree. Could there be long cycles of time in which the character, quality, and even intelligence of the source field change for everyone here on Earth? Could these cycles drive our entire planet through a mass evolution so we don't all keep reincarnating again and again, learning the same lessons for millennia? Many scholars agree this great 25,000-year cycle ends in 2012 or thereabouts, which makes this a very cutting-edge and relevant discussion in today's world. Understanding the precession. The best way to understand this 25,000-year cycle is to imagine the Earth as if it were a spinning top. Let's say you have a top that is spinning clockwise at a fast speed. At first, it stands up straight, but then it starts tracing circles in the opposite direction, counterclockwise, as it slows down. Now imagine the Earth is the top. Imagine you can see the Earth's axis as if it were a solid bar running through the north and south poles. Over the course of about 25,920 years, the Earth's axis makes a nice, slow circle in the opposite direction from the Earth's normal rotation, like the circles the top starts making as it winds down. Some ancient myths compare the Earth's axis to a long spoon in a pot of soup. The slow, circular path of the Earth's axis is the stirring of the pot. This visual only works if you keep the bottom of the spoon in one place as you make circles with it. This slow movement of the Earth's axis causes the position of the stars in the night sky during the equinox to shift by 1 degree every 72 years. If you built your church or temple to line up with a certain star during every spring equinox, as many cultures from the Druids at Stonehenge to Anasazis in Arizona did, you'd be pretty unhappy when the stars started drifting away. By the time your grandchildren started growing up, your building would already be noticeably out of alignment. In Western astrology, this master cycle is divided up into 12 ages of the zodiac. Though the Earth changes its speed slightly over time as it moves through this cycle, most astrologers round it off to 50 arc seconds per year. This creates 12 ideal ages of the zodiac at 2,160 years each, adding up to a total of 25,920 years. If you calculate the cycle based on our current speed of 50.3 arc seconds per year, it would come out to 25,675 years. But since it fluctuates, most modern astronomers round it off at about 25,800. The technical name for this cycle is the precession of the equinoxes. The word precession essentially means movement. Remember that Santayana and von Deschenes' book is called Hamlet's Mill? The Hamlet story is one of many ancient myths that describe the axis mundi, the Earth's own axis getting disrupted in its orbital path. The Earth's axis is often described in metaphor as the axle of a mill for grinding corn. In order to build a mill, you have a horizontal wooden rod that runs through the center of a heavy stone wheel. The wooden rod is connected to a central vertical axle. A strong worker then grabs the rod and starts pushing it around in circles. As the heavy stone wheel moves along, it grinds the corn underneath it. Many myths set up a scene like this and then have the axle break. This is believed to represent the Earth shifting on its axis. The myths then feature scenes where destructive Earth changes seem to occur. Dr. Susan Lee, the Physics and Astronomy Department Chair at San Francisco State University, explains the deeper context behind this story, which is much older than the works of William Shakespeare. The Hamlet myth is cosmological and describes the precession of the equinoxes. By the time Shakespeare adapted the story to his purposes, its origin and meaning had lapsed into obscurity. The mill is explained in the Indian Bhagavata Purana, the exalted seat of Vishnu, round which the starry spheres forever wander, like the upright axle of the corn mill. According to Santayana and von de Schend, all these myths aim to explain precession. The mill represents the rotation of the celestial sphere. The mill axle is the polar axis, and the theme of the breaking of the mill represents the precession. Each age ends with a catastrophic event, frequently involving a flood or water in some way. This is where the Hamlet tragedy fits in. Entire books could be written just on this one subject, and some already have been. One common symbol in these myths is the Earth's axis, or the axis mundi. Let's not forget that in Chapter 3, we saw how the axis mundi was often symbolized by a stone, such as the primitive mountain, Shiva Lingam, Benben, Omphalos, or Betel. And this symbol was directly associated with the pineal gland. Let's also not forget that the Romans also used tall pyramid shapes to represent the betel on their coins. What we did not discuss in Chapter 3, however, is that many of the Roman betel coins have a vertical axis running right through the center of the pyramid-shaped stone. Although this sacred stone is presumed to be solid, there is something mysterious going on inside. It is as if the outside skin has been rendered open to reveal some sort of structure. Four of the five coins show a pole or strut. The mundane answer to this pole could be, and most likely is, the axis mundi. These coins may be telling us something connected with the betel in a mystical way. All of these coins also have the angel on them. This suggests a curious, ongoing fascination in the top levels of the Roman Empire with the movement of the Earth's axis, pyramids, and the pineal gland. If the Romans inherited a greater worldwide secret about the 25,920-year cycle, then they may well have believed there would be direct effects upon human consciousness at the end of the cycle. Let's not forget that in the Egyptian mythologies, the Benben stone is surrounded by two Bennu birds. The Bennu is the phoenix, a bird that undergoes a radical transformation. The Egyptians also taught that the Bennu's cry was responsible for creating great cycles of time that were ordained by divine intelligence. We also saw teachings in the Egyptian Book of the Dead on how the seeker could achieve his or her own phoenix-like transformation. And when this happened, they could levitate, perform miracles, and glow with bright light. The mystery schools and the major religions all seem to agree on the importance of the pineal gland in this spiritual awakening process. Many authors want to sound the alarm about what they feel is imminent doom associated with this cycle and its apparent due date of 2012. Some of the people I've spoken to who worked in various classified projects would agree with them. There is compelling evidence that significant Earth changes do occur at the end of each of these cycles, but remember, we are already seeing those changes now. The final destruction. According to Santayana, these ancient legends from all over the world describe the conditions on the Earth getting worse and worse as we head toward the end of the cycle, much like the flaming death of the phoenix before it is reborn. These prophecies forecast a wide variety of problems in government and society, wars, famines, diseases, and corruption, not to mention catastrophic Earth changes. But the myths say they then usher in a stunning new golden age. Again, using our analogy of the lucid dream, it's as if these events show us a worldwide reflection of who we are and how asleep we have become, so we can be inspired to change our lives for the positive. If there is an intelligence throughout the universe, and intelligent beings visited us who already knew about the source field, it seems quite ridiculous to consider that they would give us these prophecies just to tell us we were all going to die on a certain date and that there was nothing we could do about it. Our next set of prophecies come from the Mahabharata, a Hindu sacred scripture. They sound remarkably relevant to our own recent history, including Earth changes, widespread corruption, and moral decline, despite the fact that they may have been written some 5,000 years ago. The numbers and symbolism in these legends fit Santayana's theory perfectly. The writers did seem to be aware of the 25,000-year procession cycle. The Mahabharata describes humanity's entrance into the final age of hell on earth, or Kali Yuga, before we again return to the golden age that will follow. Again, bear in mind what the Casey reading said about prophecies of physical catastrophes. They are metaphors of the changes we are all going through. The Casey readings also said the Book of Revelation frequently described objects in groups of seven to symbolize the seven chakras, or energy systems in the body. Here in this Hindu text, we apparently see the same symbolism being used in the form of seven blazing suns that appear at the end of the age. In the Kali Age, the Brahmanas, spiritual leaders, abstain from prayers and meditation. The course of the world looketh contrary, and indeed, these are the signs that foreshadow the universal destruction. And O Lord of men, numerous Mleka kings then rule over the earth, and those sinful monarchs, addicted to false speech, govern their subjects on principles that are false. And, O tiger among men, the merchants and traders then, full of guile, sell large quantities of articles with false weights and measures. And they that are virtuous do not prosper, while they that are sinful prosper exceedingly. And virtue loseth her strength, while sin becometh all-powerful. And, O king, girls of 7 or 8 years of age do then conceive, while boys of 10 or 12 years beget offspring. And women, given to impropriety of conduct and marked by evil manners, deceive even the best of husbands. O king, toward the end of those thousands of years constituting the four yugas, and when the lives of men become so short, a drought occurs, extending for many years. And then, O Lord of the earth, men and creatures, endued with small strength and vitality, becoming hungry, die by thousands. And then, O Lord of men, seven blazing suns appearing in the firmament. Drink up all the waters of the earth that are in rivers or seas. The fire called Samvartaka, impelled by the winds, appeareth on the earth that hath already been dried to cinders by the seven suns. And then that fire, penetrating through the earth and making its appearance in the nether regions also, begetteth great terror in the hearts of the gods. And, O Lord of the earth, consuming the nether regions, as also everything upon this earth, that fire destroyeth all things in a moment. I do not think these prophecies of a final destruction are literal. The seven blazing suns appear to symbolize a sudden spiritual awakening that occurs throughout humanity. Right after everything on earth is allegedly destroyed in a moment by this incredible fire, the story mysteriously continues and everyone is still alive. A savior figure now arrives with supernatural abilities who defeats the bad guys and helps the planet transform. Symbolism again appears to be at work here. There are dreamlike myths like this all over the world, and the Hindu prophecy seems surprisingly similar to how our world appears today. The fiery catastrophe we just read about appears to be another metaphorical symbol of worldwide changes that sweep through our society at lightning speed, toppling our castles of sand which we built in ignorance, and eliminating the old ways of doing things. Casey described a very similar set of metaphors in his decoding of the Book of Revelation.